Psalms 37 and verse number 23. Boy, it's been a good morning. My heart's been so blessed. And I hope you'll open your heart up wide. I'm going to speak to our young people mostly this morning because this is the month we're emphasizing 50 years of investing in teenagers. And so I want to speak to you, even though I'll be directing my attention to the young folks. I think you'll be able to take all of the Bible principles and apply them to your life, no matter where you're at in life. Psalms 37, verse 23. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Psalms 37 and verse 23. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord. And my heart's so full this morning. I want to be a help. I want to help our young people. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me the heart, dear God, of every one of them. Lord, maybe that one that's just been coming for a few weeks, Lord, that you'd get a hold of something in them. Maybe somebody that's been coming for a while on the buses, and they come and they enjoy it and they're glad to be here. But Lord, they really just haven't turned the whole thing over to you yet. I just pray for our core kids, dear God. They have to make decisions too. And Lord, I believe the devil comes strong after them. Lord, a lot of them are going to get on a bus this week, and they're going to head up to youth conference, Lord. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd just do a mighty work in their lives. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd allow me to help them, maybe in a way that somebody else cannot, just because I'm their pastor. And so I pray that they'd open their heart extra wide and listen. They'd do your will. And that love you, and that serve you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I didn't mean to be so weepy this morning, so thank you for your patience. The name of the title is Advice from One Who Was Once Young. And I want to quickly say I'm barely qualified to preach this, just barely. I'm about the youngest old person you'll ever meet in your life, okay? So don't be jumping to any wild conclusions on this. I'm just barely on the fringe. I can hardly reach out and touch the hem of the garment of old age. But 44 years ago this past May, think about this, 44 years ago this past May, the class of 1979 sat on this platform waiting to receive his diploma. I say his diploma because the class of 1979 is preaching to you this morning. It was made up of one graduate. By the way, that has its advantages, you know. You're automatically the valedictorian, didn't have to work hard for that, you know. First time a D student ever was valedictorian, you know. I'm kidding, I made some C's. And then the class had a meeting, and I was voted as the class president. Then I went ahead and nominated myself for most popular, best looking, and most likely to succeed, and unanimously won all of those. So probably the greatest part about just having one in your class is that I can have a class reunion whenever I want to, and everybody's always there, you know. I had one yesterday at Burger King. It was great. I've been thinking of our teenagers a lot this month, and because of the theme, month of July, I've stood back in front of that whiteboard and probably spent more time this month than I have in the previous month, both looking at the children's section and the teenager section. At our last family gathering, we got the kids and the grandkids together at our house. I pulled out a picture book, and I wanted them to look at it with me. And it was a book, one of those Shutterfly booklets that we put together of my my grandparents, Marvin and Ruth Ogle, and on the front of it, there's a picture of my grandparents, there's a picture of me and my siblings when we were young. And so I started by showing them the cover and explaining who that was, and Annabelle was a bit mystified. She was having a hard time understanding that that little boy on the front of the picture was her papa. And so I had to explain it several times, and she'd look at the picture and look at me and look at the picture and look at me. And, you know, it seems like there's always that moment where in every kid's life where they realize that their grandpa and their grandma and their mom and dad were once kids, you know. And she finally pointed at my picture and said, "That's you? That's you? Yes, 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 kids. Pastor was once young. Yes, teenagers, your grandma and grandpa were once young. Your parents were once young." You say, "Well, what happened?" You happened to them. That's what happened. You know, 44 years is a long time, but can I also say this? It's a short time. 17 years of age, when I sat on the stage here waiting to receive my diploma, I only had a vague understanding of what it meant when the Bible says that life is but a vapor that appeareth but a short time and vanisheth away. I'll be honest with you, I'm not even sure I probably believed it. But I can tell you at 61 years of age, next month I'll turn 62. That would be August, I would turn 62. That would be August 30th. I don't see anyone writing it down yet. I'll just keep saying it. August 30th of next month, I'll turn 62. I can't even tell you how fast the last 44 years has gone. And young people, I don't blame you for not believing me when I say you'll blink once, blink twice, and you'll be a parent, then you'll blink again and you'll be a grandparent, and you'll be the one trying to convince your grandchildren, "Hey, you better take this thing seriously because it goes quick, goes quick." Aren't you glad? I got good news for you. Aren't you glad that God lets us live out our lives just one day at a time? And so I'd say this, first of all, cherish each day. Squeeze out every bit of good from each and every day. I've been thinking about our seniors a lot this week. Ella Morris and Caitlin McBride and Jasmine Broker, they're going to be heading off to Bible college. And I couldn't help but think that it just seemed like the other day I was heading off to Bible college, you know. You pray for them as they prepare to leave next month. They're heading out. They're heading off. And my goodness sakes, what happened? 44 years ago, I was packing my things into the trunk of my, you know, 1971 Ford Torino and getting ready to head off to Bible college. I don't know how Ella grew up on me. I texted your dad this morning and said, "How old was Ella the first time that we took a trip out to the Indian reservation? Y'all drove us." You weren't attending the church at that time. You just drove us out there. And he said, 9 years old. 9 years old. I said, 9 years old. It was on that trip that, of course, I christened her Ella the Magnificent. And that's been her title. And by the way, her brothers still love to call her that, you know, on a regular basis. They will just come over and say, "I'm so glad that I'm the brother of Ella the Magnificent." But, man, what happened? What happened to that little girl? You know, what happened to these kids? Young people, this morning I want to wish and hope and pray that some things will still be true in your life 40 years from now, 44 years from now. So I'm just going to give you some pieces of advice from one who was once young. And 44 years from now, it's going to go, if the Lord tarries, they say, "Preacher, he'll come back before then, surely." Well, that's what I thought when I was 17, and here we are. I don't know the Lord's timeline. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But let me give you some advice this morning from your preacher and just take it to heart. Number one, I pray that 44 years from now, you'll still be trusting the Lord. Amen. You'll still be trusting the Lord. You see, in our portion of scripture, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And One of the things that you'll notice earlier in the chapter, you're there at Psalms 37, if you still have your Bible open, in verse 1 through 3, notice this: fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Notice verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. If you're going to be where you need to be 44 years from now, you've got to learn to trust the Lord. You see, he will direct your steps. He will order your steps, but you have to trust him enough to let him order your steps. And I love the fact that the chapter begins by warning you not to be deceived, to become envious of those who have taken another path. It's so easy to watch people that have walked away from the Lord, and especially in the beginning years of that. The Bible says, come on, I'm not going to lie to you because it's King James Holy Bible. It says that sin has pleasure for a season. So a lot of times the young person may watch somebody that's just a little ahead of them and they take off in the wrong path. And, you know, all these years you've heard preacher warn and your parents warn and you don't see any bad thing happen to them. Matter of fact, just the opposite seems to be true. It seems like that they're just having the time of their life. And you go look at their Facebook life, by the way, you could call it their fake book life. Why don't they take pictures of the real consequences of sin? You know, they want to take a picture of themselves at the party where they're drinking and they're laughing with their friends, but why don't they take a picture when they wake up in the morning and they're laying in their own vomit? How come those pictures never make it on their Facebook page? Come on now. What I'm saying is that you're going to have to trust the Lord. First of all, you have to trust the Lord. You have to trust what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So is God lying? Is God confused? Is God just trying to trick you? Or is God telling you, listen, don't be envious of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. I don't care what it looks like from the outside. This is where it's going to end. I'm going to tell you, I don't have time to watch TV. I've seen maybe 3 in my life, but I could become an addict on this. I could watch a lot of these. And there's probably reasons you ought not watch some of them, but I'm going to tell you something. That documentary channel, parents, maybe you ought to screen some of that. Maybe you ought to sit down with your kids because they take famous people's lives and it's never, the story's always the same. And here they are in obscurity. Come on, read some of the biographies. And here they are in their heyday. I don't care. Listen, I don't care who you can name. I don't care who's at the top of the hill. I don't care who's getting all of the awards. I don't care who's making the most money right now, this moment. You have not read the end of their story. And here's how their life goes, you know, from obscurity and then all of a sudden to stardom and celebrity. I don't care if it's sports. I don't care if it's Hollywoods. I don't care if it's the rock and roll industry. I don't care what it is. Whatever the world offers them. And all of a sudden, boy, they're flying high and it seems like they've got everything. But verse number 2's coming. Come on, verse number 2's coming. And so what happens? All of a sudden, you know what? They're only going to ride that high for so long. You know why? Be sure your sins will find you out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither at the green herb. And folks, listen to me. When you watch, come on, you look at the last 10, 15 years of most of their lives, and it is utter misery and regret. Well, guess what? I was once young and now I'm old. And you know what? I'm sure glad I served the Lord. Amen. I was listening to Brother Owens just a few minutes ago. And you know what? I thought 20 years and he stands up here and just effortlessly tells story after story after story after story after story of God's blessing and their determination to go forward. And they want to accomplish more for the Lord. And I thought, young people, listen to me. I was thinking about the message. He was a teenager once. He had to choose between two directions. If he's like most of us, he struggled a bit in choosing the right direction. You know why? Because the devil will go hard. Seniors, that's why I'm telling you, listen to me. Those of you just graduated, listen, the devil's not going to give up on you. He's still going to try to come for you. And the way he's getting a lot of our young people is through those cell phones. And you turn, you know, you graduate, you get a cell phone. You better be careful. You better be careful who you're talking to. You better be careful who you are following. You better be careful who has influence in your life. Because you know what? Every single backslider seems like they make it their life's mission to try to reach back into the church and get somebody else to backslide. But the end of their story's not been written. Just trust the Lord. If you trust in the Lord and let him order your steps, listen, in the next 44 years, there's going to be some amazing experiences. You know, it seems like the devil comes and sets on a young person's shoulder and says, but what are you going to miss? What are you going to miss? What are you going to miss if you don't go out into the world? If you stay in church and if you stay serving God, what are you going to miss? And I want to say to them, what are you going to miss if you go out in the world? You cannot dream up a better life than the one that God has for you. My life has been blessed with incredible opportunities and incredible miracles. These things are now, by the way, these things are now sweet memories that bring so much joy to me in my latter years. I don't sit around having to, you know what, go through file cabinet after file cabinet of bad memories and regrets. But if you're going to experience God's best, you're going to have to learn to trust him. And if you choose the right path, let me tell you something, the blessings will outweigh the burdens. But I'm going to say this, in the next 44 years, if you choose the best, the right path, there's still going to be some things that God allows that you don't always understand. Okay, I mentioned this when Brother Owens concluded, and he shared mostly blessings for us this morning, but I told our folks he could have spent 10 times as much time sharing the challenges that comes with it. I don't try to candy coat it. The will of God sometimes is hard. You still got to face troubles. You still got to face heartache sometime. But you know what? His ways are far above our ways, and his thoughts far above our thoughts. And you know, sometimes you're not going to understand what the Lord allows in your life. Not everything's going to appear to be fair and right. And you will at times watch those that are doing evil seem to prosper while you're struggling. And you'll at times watch those who live a righteous life face great tribulation and trials. And there are times when what the Lord allows doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And that's why we have to go back to the Bible and read, trust in the Lord. I'm talking about, listen, trust the Lord the next 44 years. Trust him to guide your steps. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. You're not always going to understand everything that God allows, but he allows everything for a reason. I'm going to tell our young people getting ready to go off to Bible college, there's going to be 5 or 6 quitting places during the next 44 years. So you say, what's a quitting place? Along the path of God's will, there's going to be some times, some things happen that you don't understand. And if you do not respond properly, come on, during those times, you'll quit on God and quit on his will. There's going to be 5 or 6 places in your life where it would just be easier to quit than to keep going on. And that's when you're going to have to reach down really deep and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust him. There's going to be a handful of moments during the next 44 years where it'll be easier to quit than it is to keep going. And there's going to be some things you don't understand. But listen to me. I love Romans 8:28. You better memorize it. You better hold on to it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Remember this. If you always understood what the Lord was doing, you'd never have to trust him. And that's why he's going to allow some things in your life you don't understand, and some things you may never understand. But if we understood, then we wouldn't have to trust him. Folks, that's why he's always going to allow some things to come into our lives that we do not understand. Trust is only necessary when you do not understand what God has allowed. You may not always understand what the Lord is doing, but you can always know this. Well, we haven't done this in a while. God is good. All the time. God is good. All the time. Just nail it down. Just nail it down. Never doubt that. Not everything that happens in life is good, but God is always good. You got some verses I do. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Listen, never get mad at God for what the devil is responsible for. I'm going to make it real simple. If something bad comes into your life, it's because of the devil. If something good comes into your life, it's for because of the Lord. Why in the world do we let the devil get by with blaming God to us or accusing God to us for something bad that's come into our lives? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Believe that God is good. Trust him, even when you don't understand. Piece of advice number one, I pray that 44 years from now you'll still be trusting the Lord. Number two, I pray 44 years from now you'll still be delighting in the Lord. It's what it says in verse number 37, verse 4. Look at the beginning of the chapter. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We read in our text, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. One thing to trust the Lord, and it's one thing to do the will of God. It's another thing to just continue to delight in it. Listen, I just think the Christian life's a blast. I think it's fun. I decided if this is what God's called me to do, I'm going to have a good time doing it. Now think about that, folks. How about Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3? I'll read it to you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, talk about delighting in the Lord. If you're going to learn to delight in the Lord, you got to learn to delight in his word. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Sounds like a pretty good life to me. But how do we unlock the door to that kind of a life? We learn to delight in the Lord by delighting in his word. Next 44 years, you got to stay in this book. I got some kids going off to Bible college. Look right up here. You know what? Bible college isn't going to keep you right with God. I'm going to say it out loud. One of the easiest places in the world to backslide is Bible college. If you're not careful, you'll show up there, and you know what? You'll think because you go to chapel every day and you're around Christians and you're busy serving the Lord, if you're not careful, you're going to think that it's not necessary to have your devotional time and your Bible time and your prayer time. And you'll get so busy preparing to serve the Lord that you'll, next thing you know, you've gotten so far away from the Lord that you don't know him anymore. And so you know what? Even though you're going to Bible college, you know what? I don't care if every other person in your room doesn't have morning devotions. You have morning devotions. I don't care if everybody else in your room doesn't crack up, open their Bible. Don't you leave that room without spending some time in God's word. You know why? Because if you will delight in the Lord, it comes with promises. The person who doesn't delight in the Bible will not become like that tree planted by the rivers of water. They won't bring forth their fruit in their season. Their leaf will begin to wither. And you know what? They will not prosper. Listen, be the exception, even in Bible college. You're not going to believe it, but when you get there, you'll find out it's true. Even in Bible college, you need to walk with the Lord. Never lose your excitement. I want to say this for all of us. For the Christian life. Delight in the Bible. Delight in your devotions. Delight in your prayer time. Delight in the opportunities God has given you to serve him. Embrace God's will with delightful anticipation. I don't know what God's got ahead for you, but you know what? It's something great, and you ought to just be excited about it. I like that. Serve the Lord with gladness. Remember, living for the Lord is not something you have to do. Well, we need to lose that attitude. It's something I get to do. Baptize every day with holy enthusiasm for where God has placed you and what God allows you to do. And look forward to every single day, because every single day is an unfolding of the will of God in your life. I don't know, care where you are or who you are. You know what? Today's a brand new opportunity, and if God gives you tomorrow, it's a brand new opportunity, and there's going to be opportunities within that opportunity to serve him and to touch people's lives and to make a difference. And you know, every single day, don't lose your delight. I pray that you'll delight in God's word. I pray that you'll delight in God's presence. He that dwelleth, listen to me, Psalms 91:1. This is something only you and God can experience, and nobody else can help get you there. You've got to go there. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome of pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thou buckler. Now, young people, listen to me. I don't care if you're 12, 11, 10, some of you. I don't care if you're 13, 14. Listen, you're old enough to start walking with the Lord. You're old. I'm talking about some of you coming on buses tomorrow morning. You ought to get up, and before you do anything else, you ought to crack that Bible open and you ought to read a few chapters of the Bible. So, preacher, I don't even know where to start. Man, just let it fall open. It's all good. Amen. Amen. Start at the New Testament if you'd like to and just read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, you learn at a young age. Let me tell you something. I think God's looking from heaven. He's looking for heaven for some bus kids that just decide they're going to take this thing serious enough where they're going to get in the Bible for themselves. I think God in heaven is looking down for somebody who's going to wake up in the morning. Come on, this is good for us adults too. And not just rush into the day and leave that Bible sitting there to collect dust for the next 6 days until we blow the dust off to carry it to church one more time. Come on now. Come on now. Walk with God. Share every day with him. He wants to walk with you every day. Understand that his presence is there. Seek his presence. Enjoy his fellowship. Think of this. You are his adopted child. Amen. He loves you. Listen, he delights in you. So love him and delight in him. Right. Talk to God. Be more worried about pleasing him than you are pleasing anybody else. Come on, talk to God. Walk with God. Laugh with God. Cry with God. Stand with God. Include him in every part of your day. But you know what you'll begin to develop? Come on, watch this. You'll begin to develop a friendship that's so strong with the Lord that any other earthly friendship, come on, will pale in comparison. And you'll begin to seek his approval. And you know what? That's going to become the most important thing in your life. And whether or not anybody else thinks living the Christian life is a good idea or not, it won't matter to you. Talking about learning to delight in the Lord. There's one thing to trust the Lord. There's another thing to take to delight in the Lord. Let me give you the third piece of advice. I pray that 44 years from now, you'll still be committed to the Lord. Committed to the Lord. Well, this is a decision you need to make right now in your youth. Amen. I mean, make it and then don't try to remake it. Right. Just settle it. If you haven't already done it, you ought to find your way to an altar one of these days and drive a stake and say, Lord, I am committing my life from this point on 100% and fully to you. Look at verse number 5. Come on, this is a good psalm, isn't it? 37 verse 5. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. I want some young people this morning to get to an altar and commit your life to God. Commit your ways unto the Lord. By the way, making a commitment is a big deal. The word commit means to completely turn something over to someone else. It means that you will get in the back seat and let God drive the car. It's a big step to commit your life. Come on, commit your way of life to the Lord and just turn it over to him. But boy, you're in good hands when he's in the driver's seat. Stay committed to the will of God for your life. Commit yourself to the Lord. Commit what, preacher? Commit yourself to the will of God. Listen, don't settle for anything less than God's perfect will for your life. That means you're going to have to stay on the King's highway. The devil will offer attractive exits and seemingly necessary detours, but ignore the billboards and drive right past the exit signs. Refuse to spend one day of your life outside of the perfect will of God. Just make that decision at a young age. Stay committed to the house of God all during your life. I love this. Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, how many young people have turned 18 and the first thing they do is run away from the church house. Thank God for the young people that have turned 18 and they've already committed their ways unto the Lord and committed themselves to faithfully attend God's house no matter what or no matter where God leads you. Make the decision now in your youth that your life will revolve around your local New Testament church. Whatever you put before church attendance is an idol. I'm going to say it again. Whatever you put before church attendance is an idol. I'm going to say it again. Whatever you put before church attendance, it's an idol in your life. That's a big deal before God. Be committed to the house of God. Give God back your heart and your loyalty. Stay committed to the old paths. Come on, the paths of your family, your church family, the paths of your heritage. Never be ashamed of old-time religion. Don't ever apologize in this community or mumble under your breath when somebody asks where you go to church. You stand up straight and tall, put your shoulders back, look them in the eye with a big smile and say, I go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Don't just commit to church attendance. Commit to attending an old-fashioned King James Bible Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. Over the next 44 years, there will be an unprecedented attack. This is why I'm trying to get you young people to make this commitment now. Because you think the church has been attacked? I'm telling you what, we haven't seen the tip of the iceberg. Over the next 44 years, I'm looking at a bunch of young people that's going to experience an unprecedented attack on old-time religion and Bible holiness. The world will wax worse and worse, come on. And many Christians, I hate to say it, will wax more and more worldly. Standing for rights is going to start costing you something. I think it's going to cost more in the next 44 years than it has in the past 44 years. That's why you better make up your mind. Never surrender to wickedness. Never surrender to worldliness. Never compromise. Always be, listen, a young man that's willing to stand up for what is right. Young ladies, listen, always be a young lady set aside to God, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Young ladies, never trade modesty for immodesty, convictions for convenience, or wisdom for worldliness. Remember, young ladies, virtue, think about this, makes you as valuable as rubies. That's King James Holy Bible. But compromise makes you as common as dirt.
Right. Right.
Well,
come on.
Think about that. Better remember the same thing, young men. Stay committed to the plan of God for your life. Come on, committed to the will of God, committed to the house of God, committed to the old paths, committed to the plan of God for your life. Lean heavily on the counsel and wisdom of your parents. If you have godly Christian parents, listen to me. Don't become that 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old know-it-all. And all of a sudden, you're the smartest man in every room. You're the smartest girl in every room. No, you're not. And you're such easy pickings for the devil. Stay committed to the plan of God for your life. Lean heavily on the counsel and wisdom of your parents. Wait, listen, young ladies, wait for that young man God has created for you. Young men, you wait for that young lady God has created for you. Commit your heart first and foremost to the Lord. Patiently wait for him to bring all these other things to pass. Piece of advice number 4, and we're finished. I pray that 44 years from now, you're still walking in the ways of the Lord. Psalms 37, verse 23, we're back to our text. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He delighteth in his way. So there's God's way, and then there's man's way. There's God's way, and then there's, come on, look right up here, your way. There's God's way, and there's the world's way. Which one are you going to choose? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. By the way, there's some real benefits to being in the will of God and staying in the will of God. Psalms 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. By the way, listen to what it begins to talk about. It's talking about blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. Now we're walking in his ways. What's going to happen? For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. thy wife shall be. Isn't it interesting? Starts talking about a future wife, starts talking about predicting what your family's going to be and how blessed they're going to be. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Listen to me. You know what? The devil is the master deceiver, and he will try to bait you and get you to get into a relationship that is not of God. Come on, you young lady, sooner or later, come on, some little hound dog out here, some little worldly boy is going to pay a little attention to you. And listen to me, are you going to be so foolish to throw away what God has for you in the future? Come on, there's a good marriage ahead there if you'll stay in the will of God. There's blessed children if you're going to stay in the will of God. Brother AJ will probably mention it at some point, but one of the things that he just decided he was going to just put in front of his youth group and say to them so many times. Matter of fact, he said it so many times that when, I think the last Sunday when you were there, they surprised you and they actually had it put on one of the walls of the church there, you know. But he used to say this to his young people, fight for your future family. Amen. 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 Fight for your future family. I'm talking about when you're at your weakest. I'm talking about when you're most tempted. I'm talking about when you want to throw it all away. I'm talking about when people have hurt you and life doesn't seem fair and you want to quit and you want to walk away. I'm telling you, if there's anything that ought to keep you in the will of God, is that God is not helter-skelter in this matter of who he created for you to marry one day. And listen to me, one of the benefits of staying in the will of God is that you get to meet that one along the path of God's will. And if you, listen, you get foolish, come on! And stubborn and wicked, and you decide you're going to go your own way, let me tell you something. You will not meet the person God had for you by walking your own path. There's some things you're only going to get by staying on God's path. Think about that. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Moses had to come to a point of decision. And you know when he had to decide? I love the Bible phrase here, Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. I love that. When he was come to years. Parents, listen, we got to train them, and we should. And we got to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we should. We got to keep them in church, and we should. We got to teach them and point them the right direction, we should. But every single young person in this room will come to years. What do you think that means? I think you all know. I think you got enough sense. You can figure that out. What does it mean to come to years? That means there's going to be a point in time sooner or later where you're old enough to make your own decisions. And Moses got there. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. Here we go. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now think about this. He could choose God's people's and their way, or he could choose Egypt and Pharaoh and their way. Think about where Egypt was at this time and where the Israelites were at this time. One was ruling and one was in slavery. One had all of the benefits and all of the seeming blessings, and the other one were being beaten at the end of the day for not making enough bricks. And still there was something in his heart that said, you know what? I'm going to choose the people who have chosen God. I'm going to choose the people that have chosen the ways of God. And I don't care if it looks like they're winning the world. And by the way, if you read the paper every day, you know what? It does seem like the world's winning and the devil's winning. But I'm going to just sit up here as a very young old man. And tell you, 44 years ago, I had to make a choice too. I wouldn't go back and unmake that for anything else in the world. Choosing God's way and choosing God's path and deciding that his will was more important than my will was one of the best decision outside of salvation. The best decision outside of marrying my wife, and I wouldn't have met her, and I wouldn't have married her if it wasn't for the fact that I chose God's path and God's way. You're right. Look right up here, and I'll tell a quick story, and then we'll get out of here. Look right up here. Nobody, except for a handful of us old-timers, would have spotted these faces on the whiteboard. and even know who they are. But young people, how many times do we have to see this play out before somebody wakes up and says, there's no exception to this? You don't choose the way of the world and the way of the devil and come out okay. You just don't. Amen. There was two brothers. Picture of two different young men that's been on the whiteboard. I don't think either one of them's up there right now. But over the course of the last few months, their pictures have been there. Because they were just part of the fabric of the early days. Two young men, come on, came to the same church you're going to right now. Parents, both dedicated Christians. Better think about it. Better listen to me. Their dad was one of our bus captains. One of the early ones when we first started the bus ministry. Raising two boys. The oldest boy was in the youth group when I was in the youth group. The oldest boy was president of our youth group back when we used to nominate president of the youth group. Come on, we just got out of the American Baptist Convention. Give us a chance, you know. You can get out of the convention. It takes a while to get the convention out of you, amen. Same young man that stood before the rest of the teens, and Brother Gordon asked him and gave him the opportunity once or twice to give the lesson, give the devotions. Same young boy, it seemed like he was heading in the right direction, but you know what? Don't think the devil won't go after you. Shortly after he turned 18, you know what? He decided he was going to pack his bags and move to a different part of the state. And you know what he did? He just quit on God and quit on church and said, I'm not going to walk in the ways of God. I'm going to walk in my own ways. I'm going to have my own fun. I'm going to do my own thing. Say, why do you bring him up? Well, this week we were cleaning out some old file cabinets, you know. And as I'm cleaning out old file cabinets, I'm coming across some of my dad's sermon notes that I didn't even know was still back in there, just a few of them. And then I open one file and there's a bunch of funeral notes, sermon notes from when he preached funerals. And I'm flipping through them because I have found a few that are connected to families in the church. And I thought, if I find one that's connected to a family church, I'm going to come and give it to you because I think it would be cool for you to have, you know, if dad preached your grandma's funeral, your mom and dad's funeral, you know, if I have those notes, I'm going to give them to you because I think you'd enjoy having them. And I looked and there's that young man's name. I pick it up. Think about this. You know what? 21 years of age. Oh, you know what? He was having fun for a few years. He was having a good time for a few years. But just within a few years, my dad's standing up here behind the pulpit and his body's laying there and he's preaching the message. Young people, listen to me. Sin has its pleasures for a season. But if you think you're going to take your life and turn it into a mockery against God, and God's not going to exact a price for that, you don't understand who God is. That's the older brother. The younger brother graduates. Did he learn anything? He watched it. He saw it. Did he learn anything? Packed his bags, moved to an entire different part of the country. You say, preacher, 3 years later, was someone doing his funeral? No. I'd run into his dad from time to time, and I'd say, call his name and say, how's so-and-so doing? And his dad would say, well, Brother Jerry's making a lot of money out there. He got into this, and boy, he's making a lot of money, and he's bought this, and he's bought that, and he's living here, and he's doing this. And are you listening, young people? Okay. You know what? Come on. Made a lot of money, spent that money pursuing the pleasures of sin for a season. Years pass. Look right up here. Handful of decades pass. All of a sudden I hear that he's moved back into the area. And his life's busted and his life's broken and his life's a shambles. And I said to myself, I need to go by and see him. And literally before I could get that figured out to do, the word came to me that he had died. Drank himself to death. Listen to me. I called Mike Cox and I said, when is the funeral arrangement? Heard he was taking care of the funeral arrangements. When's the funeral arrangements? And he said, well, funeral's going to be on a certain evening. And I had to leave town and I couldn't attend the funeral. And I told Mike, I said, Mike, I'm an old friend. And I'm getting ready to leave town. Is there any way I could slip in that morning? Just pay my condolences. He said, I'll check with the family. I don't think it'd be a problem. And they said, that's fine. Folks, I walked into an empty funeral home. It's me and Mike Cox and his wife. And he let me in where the body was and shut the door. And I walked over to the edge of a casket. And this is a guy that I was friends with. This is a guy I've gone hunting with. This is a guy I used to, come on, me and Bill and Bob and Keith, we'd go bowling every Friday night with him. Are you listening? This isn't some made-up story, something I read in an illustration in a magazine somewhere. This is real life. And I finally go get a chair and I pull it up beside the casket because I just wanted to spend some time. Because see, he just graduated a year after I did. And here's two paths. And I knew he was heading in the wrong direction. And when I gave my life over to the Lord and decided to go to Bible college, right before I left, I went and saw him. And I said, I almost said his name, but I called his name and I said, I'm worried that you're going to go the wrong direction. I said, God's got something for you. And I know we've, done everything together, including struggling in our Christian life some. But I said, man, I hope you'll choose the right path. And he looked at me and smiled. And he said, Jerry, glad for what you're doing. As soon as I graduate, I'm going to go do what I want. Not mad at you. He said, I'm not mad at you. Go do what you want to do. But I'm just flat telling you, as soon as I graduate, I'm going to go do what I want. Young people, there's too many verses in this Bible that tell us what's going to happen to the man who chooses his own ways over God's ways. 49 years of age, I'm looking at a man that never made it to 50. What's the difference? So, you young people that are in your teens, you young people getting ready to go off to college, think about this. Let God order your steps. And if you do, look right up here and listen. 44 years from now, if the Lord tarries, you'll have a lifetime of great memories. By the way, you'll be married to the right person. You will influence others to live for God. You'll have rewards waiting for you in heaven. One day you'll be able to stand before the Lord without shame and regrets. 44 years from now, if the Lord tarries, you might slip in the back at one of our graduation ceremonies. And you'll be one who was old but was once young. And after the ceremony's over, maybe you'll slip up to those seniors and say, let me give you some advice from someone who stood where you stood and had to make the decisions you're going to have to make. Choose God. Choose the Bible way. Choose His will for your life. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if the world seems so much better. Choose right. Do right. Do right. Do right. Because if you do, I promise you, there'll be a day where you're sitting there clipping the coupons. I love being 61, about to turn 62 on August 30th. You got that? You got it written down? Okay. I can take you to a lot of people that are 61. They don't love being 61. They don't love the consequences of a life full of bad decisions. They went their own way and they're filled with their own ways. Well, you got some advice from a man that was once young, and now I'm a very young old. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, the greatest decision anybody can make is the decision, dear Lord, to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There may be someone here that's not even saved. Lord, I pray, dear God, that they would fall under conviction of sin this morning, Lord, that they would humble their heart. They'd walk an old-fashioned aisle if you're dealing with them and they're under conviction and the Father's drawing them. I pray they'd respond to that. I pray they'd get saved. But Lord, the message really wasn't a salvation message. Lord, I pray, dear God, as we're kind of winding up a month where we put the focus on young people, I just pray, Lord, that you'd take a Sunday morning message where I had a chance to, I didn't just want to talk to our core kids. I want to talk to our bus teams. And I know the world dangles so many things in front of them and makes it look so good. And I know they're going to, many of them attend a public school where they have people in places of authority, teachers and guidance counselors and principals that want to make sin sound glorious and want to try to convince them that if they stay in church, they're going to have a horrible life, and try to convince them that the Bible is just a book full of fairy tales. And Lord, they've got so many things that the devil's trying to put into their mind and put into their ears and put into their heart to get them to go the wrong way. I pray, Lord, that you'd just reach down inside of them, dear God, as only you can. Sweet Holy Spirit, that teenager that's struggling, that one that's already making plans for an exit, that one that has hardened their heart, I pray, Lord, you'd break through that fallow ground. You'd break it up, dear God, and you'd help them to do the right thing, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name.